When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Take my auntie down to the supermarket to buy a bunch of peas. Hi.
Hey.
Welcome.
I started feeling really awkward straight away when you started rapping.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I like that we did that.
I think you're a good man to have in my corner, Al.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, as in, do I make you feel awful about things?
Yeah. And you back me up. Right up until the point when you stop wanting to back me up.
No.
You probably backed me up more by stopping, actually.
Well, yeah? That's kind of what I thought we could.
Friends don't let friends rap.
But especially when it's like, because what happens with all of us who don't rap is that we go for that one rhythm that that all kind of non-rappers go for, which is like, which doesn't sound like actual rapping from anybody who knows what they're doing. I feel embarrassed for the world of rapping, and I feel embarrassed.
Do you think I embarrassed the world of rapping?
Well, you didn't, Andy. Do you think you made it proud? And so if we eliminate that possibility, most of the other possibilities involve embarrassment.
I don't think the world of rapping gives a fuck.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
I think the world of rapping's probably self-confident enough that it can withstand my lack of creativity with rhythm.
That's cool.
Sometimes I'm quite good with rhythms, though.
Yeah?
You know, like making up little rhythms.
Do you think you got flow?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that I have flow.
Well, then maybe you should become a drummer.
Maybe next time. I wouldn't go so far as to say that I should become
next a time, I'll just let you do the beat.
That's definitely not a good idea.
Why?
Alistair, you're painting me into a corner here where I'm going to have to admit that I'm not good at anything.
Andy, you're good at lots of things.
Thank you.
People really like you.
Oh, that's nice.
And your skills.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do they feel about my rapping?
Oh, they haven't mentioned it.
No.
So that could be either good or bad.
Well, let's treat it as good. Although after everybody listens to this episode,
they will have heard it. And I'm sure you'll get some feedback.
We'll collapse that waveform and we'll know true.
But,
yeah.
But at the moment, it's both good and bad, you're rapping.
Yeah.
Except for my reaction. If we don't count me as a person, which I think a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yep.
Cool. So welcome to Two in the Think Tank.
This is episode 12.
I think I laughed at people who had listened to 12 episodes. So congratulations to you guys. You're
guys,
both really
this
funny.
This is where we have a special. We actually have a special prize for the people who've listened to all 12 episodes so far. So well done for getting through it.
Yeah.
All those other 11 episodes, that was a joke.
Yeah, this one is the first
test.
Real one.
This is the first real one, yeah. And we're going to be taking it a lot more seriously
From now on, it's actually serious. We were just joking around before.
Yeah.
Which is not the way to approach any kind of comedy podcast.
No, it's not. It's a serious business.
Yeah, it's making a joke of comedy.
But that was sort of what it was. It was like a satire on a podcast.
We were just pretending to be two guys. That's the sort of the joke. We're two guys who pretend like we're having a how ridiculous would it be if you were just another pair of comedians making a podcast where all they have to do is talk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the Damien Hirst of podcasts.
Who's he again?
He's that artist who produces like just endless reproductions of very, very similar things.
Yeah.
Like he does those spinning wheels with paint all over them and like
Did he do the diamond skull?
He did the diamond skull and stuff as well. Like a lot of the time the joke is that it's art.
Yeah.
Look at this thing I've done.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is it that I'm doing this?
Yeah.
Right.
Our joke now is that this is comedy.
And how ridiculous is it that I'm charging $300 million for this diamond skull. How ridiculous is that? Anyway, imagine if I did that, which I am doing it. You don't have to imagine.
It'll be even funnier. If one of you guys buys it, it'll be even funnier.
Yeah.
So.
Although I don't think he uses the word funnier. I think he uses the word relevant and artistic. Two words.
But he means funny. And that in art, you know, art has another language. You got to be art literate.
Yep.
And meaningful and relevant means funny.
You have a sense of humor. Can you have a sense of art?
Your?
Art your?
Art your. I have a sense of art your. And I'm from Europe.
Art your.
Art your. Is that a thing that happens in Europe where they put Y's where they don't belong?
Yeah.
They put a... See, this is a game of Jeopardy, and they go, and the, it's like, I'll take geography, and they go, okay, for $200, we put a Y where it doesn't belong. Am I Europe? What is Europe?
What is the dominant characteristic of the peoples of Europe?
And then it's just like photos of people with like just the letter Y in fireplaces and under their armpits.
An X-ray. A doctor puts an X-ray up on one of those screens and there's like a Y lodged in between somebody's ribs.
Or they've got like a wishbone that you would have in a chicken.
I would have one in a chicken.
Yeah, but you would. But they have it in a regular person.
Oh, that wishbone.
Chickens being irregular people.
From my lofty position of being... Sorry, I wasn't listening. That's really funny. They're some of the least regular people.
What would you say for your...
it hardly seems relevant now.
Yeah, well...
I don't think anything matters anymore.
I have that. Well, relevant in terms of it seems irrelevant now in terms of in language in art speak,
yeah.
Which would be not funny in comparison.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
But from my lofty position of being a vegetarian,
yeah.
Looking back now on wishbones,
yeah.
That's pretty macabre, isn't it?
What does macabre mean?
It's sort of grim and like a bit sadistic.
I suppose it does. I mean, like, if a bigger animal was doing it to humans, do you think they would use the sort of the hip...
The pelvis.
Yeah, the pelvis and then the legs?
And then you would just tear... You'd have the legs still attached. I think you'd just take a whole human, because, you know, if you take our legs...
Yeah, I guess
you would just grab one leg and the other leg, and you'd tear them apart, and whoever ends up with more of the torso, their wish comes true.
Oh, so... Yeah. The other person just ends up with a bit of a leg. Because I think it's like one of the hip, the ball joints.
Fortunately, the thing that I wished for was a big bit of torso. So in that sense, it has come true. Yes, yeah. I'm a very lucky monster.
But then the guy with the torso, I'm guessing they're going to eat it. And
I hope so. Otherwise, that's just cruel.
It's very wasteful.
Wasteful.
Do you think our rib bones to a giant would sort of be like those tiny bones in a salmon steak that would just get stuck in your mouth like this?
So irritating.
Yeah, and I think it would be very irritating. So I think that's why it's good not to eat us, giants. If there are any giants listening.
First of all, thanks for tuning in.
With your giant ears.
Your giant iPhones.
Your giant...
Giant iPods.
They would. Apple is, you know, they say Apple's the biggest company in the world.
Well, there you go.
And
they're always looking for new markets.
Yeah. The giants.
Yeah. You could sell a lot of really small iPhones, or you could just sell one really big one and make the same amount of money.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Probably goes the other way, actually. It's a little...
What was the rap about before?
I went down to the supermarket with my auntie to buy a bag of peas.
Yeah. Now I kind of want to know what happens next.
Well, you'll never know because you cut me off.
No, but I mean, did you... How many moves ahead do you rap? Like, you know, is it like a game of chess for you? Were you already like three sentences down the road?
I was already working on my third album by that point of the rap. That's
and
how
I'm not going to I'm not gonna get to hear any
You're
of
not going
to
get to hear any of it.
What was the first album called?
Fingers in Many Pies.
Yeah, all right. So is that where you guys were? Were you guys making some kind of a vegetarian, as you mentioned?
Every one of the raps was going to be about a different type of pie.
And what, like, but also, like, the whole journey on making it. So you were going to buy, you were buying the peas with your auntie.
Yes.
So there's a bit of an emotional joy, voyage.
Family is very important to me, and I try to bring that out in my rap.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Or I was going to try and bring that out in my rap, yeah. But my career ended.
Yeah, really.
Almost as soon as it had begun.
Well, you know, this could be a, you know, at the moment there's a bit of buzz about about you coming back on the scene.
Yeah.
With a hip hop album, I feel.
A bit of buzz.
There's a bit of buzz. Can you hear it?
It's just the that's the compressor across the road.
Oh yeah, but
I thought that was people hyping up your next album. Yeah, but it's just a compressor across the road.
Hey, look, I don't think. You know, it's all about how you look at things, you know? People talk about positivity. You know, you can find positivity even in the hum of a compressor from across the road.
Yeah, you're right. If you chose to include that, treat that compressor hum as buzz around your new album,
you'd be more motivated to work on your album, right?
There's a lot of buzz around your new album. Yeah, yeah, man. Everyone's really keen to hear it. Yeah. No, I mean, like, it's been terribly produced. There's a lot of static. Yeah. Did you have a compressor grainy. In the background? Is that?
Yeah, definitely. It was my muse.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people's muses aren't like sort of electrical equipment.
Yeah, a lot of people's aren't.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I thought it was just a few, but now that we've started to talk about it, I'm realizing more and more that almost everybody's muse isn't electrical equipment.
Yeah, and the bigger the piece of electrical equipment, the less emotional attachment people have to it. Do you find?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, people are, like, really attached to their phones and stuff like that, but a robotic arm in a factory?
Very few people
have that much emotional attachment to
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a Japanese person? I don't want to stereotype, but don't you think...
Japanese people aren't electrical equipment, Alistair.
No, but I mean, like, don't you think one Japanese person might be really attached to a...
Robotic arm?
A robotic arm somewhere.
They sound like they're a new cyborg that's being developed.
Yeah. A third arm wouldn't be bad. Like, coming out your back that kind of lurches over your head?
This was my argument against intelligent design, right?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, right, okay, so humans, as distinct from other animals, and I know you don't like me trying to distinguish humans from animals, but...
That's cool. Because anyway, you think that we're closer to the angels.
Gods. Yeah. Yeah. We're at least high enough close to the angels that we can look up their dresses and see that there's nothing there. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's good.
What was I going to say?
Angels don't wear underwear.
No.
Like, okay, but what were you... Like, you were talking about what distinguishes us from...
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that... Because, like, we use tools, right? But other animals... Some other animals do use tools. So, like, a gorilla, right, might use a stick to open a coconut.
Really?
Or something.
Yeah, sure.
But we, as humans, the leap that we've made is that we can combine two things and then work on them with a tool. So, like, we could get a coconut and a bit of rock and get a bit of stick and tie the two together.
Okay.
Okay, so we can, you know, combine things.
Yeah.
And that would be a lot easier if we had three arms. And I think that if we'd been intelligently designed to be creatures that combine things, put things together, synergize, then we'd have three arms. So, God.
So because you gotta, like, to, let's say, to tie rope, you need to tighten the rope, you need to have two hands.
Yeah.
But then you can't hold on to the coconut at the same time.
That's right.
And so if we were intelligently designed, we would have an arm that comes over our
backs.
Or over our heads. And, like,
maybe just extends out of the middle of our chest when we need it to.
No, but I think that join there, that sternum join, doesn't seem like it's that
maybe
sternum.
We'd have a trunk. We'd just have a prehensile trunk.
I reckon
trunk.
The best place would be, like, okay, so it comes out from, like, sort of just below your neck.
Yep.
Right?
On the side?
And it, No. Straight back, right? And the joint, like it would go straight back, but it kind of could, like, lean down, like, it would go down like your regular arm, right? And then the arm, though, would come up above your head.
Over.
Okay, and then you would just have it there, and you would just hold things. And then you could just work.
Work on them.
Yeah, just work on them. So it's like, you know, it's almost like that thing.
We could hold our own pinata.
Exactly.
Yeah.
and think of all the time we would save, and how many fewer people would
pinatas.
Would fall off of ladders. You know, like in some parts of the world,
a lot more people would get beaten in the heads with sticks, but a lot less people would fall off ladders.
Yeah,
and I think that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
So you saying you think that people would hit themselves with sticks with about for?
Well, they're blindfolded, so yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good place for the arm to come out. I think it should just come out underneath one of the other arms. And it could be quite a small arm.
No.
For fine work, for fine details. It's for like, you know, working on... It's small. No, we'd have really pointy
hands,
little... Maybe even little claws.
Our hands are already set up for fine detail. We need a bulkier sort of like just a load-bearing
hand. A lifting arm.
Yeah, it's a lifting arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if we had robotic arms, they'd probably come out of our back. Like, sort of like, you know, the octopus, Dr. Octopus?
Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
I know, sort of like Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our suggestion.
Where the third arm should go.
Mm-hmm. That's the nature of the podcast now, that we've started to take it seriously.
Yeah.
It's no longer trying to come up with sketch ideas. It's just suggestions. To the divine.
We try to come up with 5 suggestions. Yeah, I think that's good.
Third arm coming out of the back. Suggestion number one.
Is any of the stuff that we've already mentioned a potential sketch?
I don't think so, no.
What about...
Something about my rap career?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, I would love to see your rap career. We could make a movie like I'm Not There. Or no, what's the one that was based on that? I'm Still Here.
The Bob Dylan one?
No. The one that with Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, I'm Still Here.
Yeah, I'm Still Here. Is it I'm Not There, the Bob Dylan one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm Still Here. I think it was Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
I think it was about his rap career.
Yeah.
But we could make a good version of that. You sort of already got your beard going a bit.
I do.
You know, we just got to get you a Letterman spot. I mean, I don't know why we have to follow the same path as him. He didn't.
Well, it's been established. I think he made the model, and we just need to follow that.
That's right. He really trailblazed that one.
He did.
Yeah.
The disappointing white rap movie. Yeah. Mold. Was very much set by Joaquin.
I mean, we could follow the Eminem one, but of course he was already a successful rapper by the time he made it.
I'm not interested in that.
We're sort of gambling that throughout this film you're gonna become a really good rapper, because that's kind of what the whole movie is sort of what's the word based on, gambling on, sort of
is presupposed upon.
Presupposed upon. Yeah.
Presupposed upon. I'm going to use that in one of my raps.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Man, I'm fucking... Oh, no, you said it, didn't you? I thought I gave it to you.
You can't have it back.
That's fine. First person who does it on TV gets to keep it.
Okay.
That's my saying that I say to comedians and everybody. If we come up with a joke together,
yep.
First person to do it on TV gets to keep it.
Wow.
And I try to say it as fast as I can. First person to do it on TV gets to keep it.
Yeah, and if you say it really, really quickly, then that means that you've got more time to focus on developing your TV career. You don't have to worry about, you know, finishing the sentence, because you've already started working on your TV career.
Exactly.
And then you're ahead of everyone else who's still just trying to work out what you said.
Yeah, I try to make it as unlistenable as possible.
Whenever I talk to other people in the comedy community, I just try and leave them with a feeling of bafflement.
Yeah.
And they spend a lot of time trying to work out what the fuck has just happened.
Yeah.
And that's time when I'm getting ahead.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot ahead.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't feel good about that?
No, I feel fine about it.
Do you think?
I'm actually really supportive. I'm a good guy to have in your corner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's true that you are like that.
Yeah, even when you're not around, I'll just look after your corner, keep it clean.
And you're really bad at pairing yourself up with people.
Yeah.
You would hope that they would be really supportive. But I think at the same time, you're in a good place because you pair yourself up with somebody who makes you feel good about your skills by comparison to them.
That's absolutely what's going on here.
Yeah, do you think so?
Always. 100% of the time.
I'm
just constantly comparing myself to this person.
Yeah, I know.
Whoever they may be. And finding myself not wanting.
Yeah. Oh, man, we've got to come up with a sketch idea.
Okay.
All
right. It's a company
yep.
that the designs motorbikes.
Oh, right.
Okay, yes.
Okay,
like, and they've built the first motorised unicycle.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And also the second motorised unicycle.
Oh my God.
So they've got two motorised unicycles. And then they've got people riding them around in the testing area. But there's a crash. There's a terrible crash.
Yeah.
And the two motorised unicycles become fused together and form one motorcycle.
Yeah.
And it's...
That's how the motorcycle was born.
That's how the motorcycle was born. That's not a sketch.
No?
You don't I don't know. I don't see.
I think the problem with a motorized unicycle is you have to do that thing where you drive it forward and then back and forward and back.
Yeah.
You do with a...
I have seen people just riding, like, consistently forwards on a unicycle.
Yeah.
You know that thing in that episode of South Park called It or whatever, where Mr. Garrison invents that, like, that new form of transport.
Oh yeah, where it goes in the button.
I think those things actually like exist. Like you can, there are those things where you can sit inside a wheel, and it just drives around.
Yeah, I saw it on Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, I don't believe you.
Yeah, no. There was a guy who wanted to design one, and then he did.
I still don't believe it.
And then he drove it around.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and he would just sit in it, and it's a wheel.
That's a miracle of science.
Yeah, actually, but I don't think there wasn't any sort of any butt penetration or anything like that, like in the South Park episode.
I also don't believe that.
Yeah. No?
Yeah. I believe that what you saw on Ripley's Believe It or Not probably did include butt penetration, but didn't include a single-wheeled vehicle. So I'm skeptical of everything you're telling me.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I do accept that it was probably on Ripley's Believe It or Not. Because you've got to believe something...
Yeah.
You got to believe in something, Alistair. You can't just go questioning everything about
the world.
Because
then where are you at?
Exactly. You've got nothing. You're empty.
So could it be a sketch about a guy who doesn't believe anything except for one thing in every conversation? It'd just be one of those one-joke sketches, but basically somebody says something, and then he says, whatever you just said.
Yeah, okay.
And then at the end he goes, but you got to believe in something.
You
got to
believe in something. Okay. I like the guy of someone who says you've got to believe in something.
Yeah.
But I don't know about any of the other stuff. No. I don't believe in any of the other stuff that you just said.
No, but you got to believe in something. Which
but you got to believe in something.
A guy
don't
who
you?
Says you got to believe in something.
Yeah, that's the thing I believe in.
Well, maybe look, because I had laughed at what you said.
Yeah,
and,
that's probably makes it a sketch.
Yeah,
yeah. Ripley's Believe It or Not. We don't care, mate. We just put it out there. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit whether or not you believe it.
Yeah.
That's not our problem. Okay.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
It's funny. There's a freak in it.
This guy's got an arm coming out of his back.
Yeah. This the other guy's sitting in a wheel.
This guy. Two motorbikes crashed together.
Aye.
Unicycles fused into one.
Don't care if you believe it. I couldn't give a damn.
Believe it or not.
I don't believe in anything. Except for this. Except for...
And that I don't care. That's the only thing I believe in. That I don't care whether or not you believe in anything that I have to tell you. Ripley's interested in this or couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's another one they've done. Ripley's watching or asleep.
All right. So it's the
Ripley's the empire.
Ripley's empire. Empire.
Ripley's delicious or tastes like a rubber tire.
Oh, empire. But,
I don't know what the...
the guy...
I'm interested to see how you summarise this, Alistair. Yeah, the guy who doesn't give a shit. What do you believe?
He's just putting out TV shows. Right. And it's just, the guy doesn't give a shit.
Believe it or not, just happened to be one that, like, captured the public imagination.
Yeah. But, Ripley's eating an apple or isn't? That one didn't quite get it off the ground, but...
Ripley's fishing or just fucking about in a boat. I don't care. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. It's not my problem, mate. I'm Ripley.
The guy doesn't give a shit. That's the whole thing. You get to meet Ripley.
Get to meet Ripley. And he's, he's loose. Oh, boy, is he. Getting loose. Getting loose. I've been thinking about that expression.
Yeah. So what does it mean? It's just like...
Just getting loose,
mate.
Oh,
man, I'm just... Like, that's
is it like you're getting loose... See, I've always pictured as like you're loose, you're like sort of loose jointed and you're just like flopping around the place. But maybe it's like you're getting loose in terms of like you were chained up like a dog and then you broke loose.
Yeah.
I'm getting loose.
Well,
and then you're free.
I think.
And also possibly floppy.
The fact that you thought that it was floppy, that somebody who's usually like a dickhead who's like starting to act out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like getting a bit crazy or just doing things that are inappropriate. The fact that your brain told you, like, oh, doing inappropriate things, like a guy who's like
really
double
floppy.
Jointed. Yeah, double jointed and really floppy.
Believe it or not, mate.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
I find that weird. But no, I think it's just like a guy who's being a bit of a cunt.
And oh, really?
Maybe, yeah. He's just like, he's just doing things. He's like, he starts yelling in stores and like
obnoxious,
you know,
really.
Slaps
is
the
what
guy
we're talking
at Hungry
about
Jack's, maybe. Yeah, obnoxious, maybe. Is that getting loose?
I thought getting loose was kind of like a, might be even like a kind of fun thing to do.
Oh, maybe it could be, like, you know. But I think you don't say it when you start doing more socially acceptable things. I think it's when you're having more fun and maybe it's at the expense of someone.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it doesn't have to be at the expense of someone, but, you know, like, you know the way that, like, something will bother you a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
Yeah. A mild bother.
Yeah. Well, that's still at your expense, right?
Like a light drizzle.
Like, you know, you're the one paying for that with light bother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's say I'm going, woo! Yeah! Come on! Like that. And that's kind of,
that's you getting loose?
Yeah, that's me getting a bit loose.
I did find that kind of bothering.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a
I
light
was
a, bother.
I was lightly
right?
bothered.
So I was doing
I was
that
a
at
lightly
your
bothered
expense.
Slice of toast.
It's nothing comes for free. You can't go, woo, for free. Somebody has to pay for it, but with light bother.
And what about somebody who invents a new type of butter called bother? And then they can release one called light bother.
Yeah, right.
And let's see, and, bother.
And then if I start going woo, and then he pays for it with light bother.
Let's invent a new currency.
Okay,
all right,
so
what do we need?
Well, first of all, you're going to need a bank. I don't know, you need a place to keep it.
No, let's not worry about that right now.
Okay, Jesus. I'm getting too far ahead.
I feel like, have we already done this in an episode of the podcast, trying to invent a new currency?
No, I doubt it.
You sure?
I would remember.
I don't know. What about that time when we had two sketches about a Mongolian barbecue?
Yeah,
we didn't remember until months later.
Oh, well, look, this has not happened on the podcast, but we've definitely come up with two sketches that involve Mongolia. Oh, no, we had one sketch on the podcast that involved a Mongolian
exactly
barbecue.
Exactly right.
And then
that
was
the second sketch.
We'd realized about a year earlier we tried to write a sketch, and a lot of it involved a Mongolian barbecue. It was a guy who every year his friends bring him to a Mongolian barbecue, and they go, well, what do you want to order? And he goes, I don't want it. And they go, well, why do you do this?
Why do you bring us every year, Chris? You make us come to this Mongolian barbecue on your birthday. Yeah. Why?
He goes, because I'm an alien.
And that's the sketch.
Yeah. Well, the sketch was called Chris is an Alien.
And I think, that's right. And we told people what it was called
before we did the sketch,
and then at the end he was an alien.
Why don't you want some of that Mongolian beef and noodles? Well, I thought it was
something else.
Why do you do this every year, Chris?
You bring us to this Mongolian barbecue, you sit us down, you tell us you don't want what's available.
Well, I thought it was something else. Anyway, you get the point. God damn it, we're only one sketch in, Andy.
Oh, sorry.
We've got to come up with a sketch that doesn't involve Mongolian barbecue. Okay.
What about those people who talk about there are only like 7 stories in the world, right?
Okay.
And someone giving a presentation about this.
Yeah.
And he's listing off the different types of stories. And then the last, he does 3, and then the last 4 all take place in a Mongolian barbecue.
Yeah.
And he'd look like a lunatic.
Or what if you said there was only 7 stories in the world, right? And he goes, earlier today, I went down to the shop, and I got some double brie, right? And I came back home, and I had the whole lot, right?
Yeah.
That's actually one of the stories. Now, there's only 6 other stories in the world. Right? Now, you've probably seen Star Wars. Well, that's another one.
Yep.
All right.
And how many Star Wars movies were there?
There's six of those. All right. So that's all the stories that there are. 6 Star Wars. And they want to make 3, but they're not going to be able to unless they buy my story about the double brie.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm in negotiations with Walt Disney.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah, Walt Disney.
Walt.
I said put Walt on the line.
I said get me Walt.
Yeah.
I won't talk to anyone else. Anyway, they defrosted Walt.
Yeah, they got him.
And I was talking to him, and basically all I could hear was just the slow plinking noise of something returning to room temperature.
And to be
honest, I think I talked him down.
No, they got my price down.
The plinking noise. I'm not a good negotiator. Yeah. I'll accept it.
To be honest, I folded. I'm giving him $100 for my story. Take it. Just take it off my hands, Walt. I've heard you plink enough.
That's the thing about Walt, though. He was just an amazing businessman. Yeah. I mean, he was a creative genius, and he was artistic, very artistic.
Yes.
But mostly, he was just a skillful negotiator, and that's still with him.
Even 150 years past his death. I mean, it's not been 150 years, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's still plinking.
He's still plinking. He's still pulling off some impressive deals. Also, there was the slight whirr of the compressor in the background, of the refrigeration unit.
Oh, of course.
And for some reason, refrigeration units, I choose to interpret that as a really convincing negotiation.
Anyway, so now there's seven stories for Star Wars, and all of them are the stories. Oh, shit, I didn't wrap that up very well.
No. But there you go.
Not a good storyteller. Not a good negotiator. Eh? Why did you come to this university? I don't know. I suppose you guys are really bad at choosing universities.
Oh, well, story of my life.
Story of... Oh.
Oh. Oh, hell, there we go.
Well, which is also the story of the second Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Lando Calrissian.
Good night.
Good night.
Anyway, so do your homework, and I'll see you guys next month.
Cheers.
Cheers. You can all go now.
Yeah. Do your homework, and I'll see you guys next month. I like that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a sketch in him.
You don't think that's a sketch? He's a guy, he's like the Joseph Campbell at a university who's talking about story structure.
Yeah, actually, no, there is something in that, isn't it?
And Joseph Campbell was actually highly involved in the making of Star Wars. I think George Lucas was in talks with him when he was talking about it, with his story, his book about the hero with 1,000 masks. So there's a few facts for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the hero with 1,000 masks? That's John Campbell describing...
That's Joseph Campbell.
Joseph Campbell.
John Campbell.
John Campbell, John Campbell, Cambo.
Yeah, John Campbell, Cambo.
Cambo.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So he describes the hero's journey, which is, I think, an age-old tale that appears in many...
It's a recurring motif,
yeah. And I think maybe Jesus did it, and Luke Skywalker, and...
Jesus did it.
He did it. That was the path that he went.
Classic hero.
And of course, the lecturer from that sketch that we just had. Although I don't know if it's going to be one of the official sketches...
Let's write it down.
Yeah, I think so. We'll write it down. Okay.
We've got people coming around. Yeah, we can't afford to be too picky.
Okay. So there's...
But I'll tell you what. We'll give you a bonus sketch at the end. It'll be great.
And they all now are owned by Disney. In the world.
What about somewhere where they try and come up with new stories? So, like, maybe Disney has, like, a sweatshop or something. Or a mine where they're digging for new story ideas. Or a spaceship.
But it's like trying to come up with a new color. Like, so you look at all the stories, you go like, oh, what's one of the actual story structures in real life?
Oh, boy meets girl?
Boy meets girl? Is that just a story?
I've got no idea.
Oh, for fuck's sake. We're awful.
We're talking about this.
They say write what you know, and we're just, we're clearly in the wrong area.
We set out into the unknown.
Yeah, and here we are, and now...
Barely any supplies.
Barely any supplies.
Let's do a science fiction sketch.
Okay.
Okay. Set on maybe a spaceship.
I thought about something, about a comic that I could make.
Yeah.
Like a style of comic called A High Concept, right?
Yeah.
And it's where you make sci-fi type comics or sketches, right?
Yep.
But they're so high concept. Like it's like taking like the idea of Inception and the Matrix and then adding some time travel in there and cloning
and
alternate realities.
Oh, fantastic. Yep. Paradoxes. Left, right, and center.
Yeah. Tricks of the mind, philosophy.
Yeah.
Cyborgs and robots and advanced technologies.
Oh, robots. Mind control.
Yeah. Oh, have you ever seen Ghost in the Shell?
Yep, that's in there as well.
That's in there.
That, ghosts, shells.
Yeah, hackers, people who hack into brains. all that cyberpunk stuff.
Right? All that.
Yeah. No, that's a big thing. I don't know if you know anything about anything, but this has got a thing. That's a thing.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's come up with the highest concept sketch. Okay, so the guy is a...
He's a robot.
He's a time-traveling clone hunter.
Okay, right? Time-traveling clone hunter.
Yeah.
Great. But... He he doesn't know this, but he's also he's a robot, but he is a robot.
Okay, he's a robot who at the end finds out that he's been dead the whole time.
Okay, he's been switched off.
Yeah, he's been switched off, and his consciousness only exists on a mate in the Matrix.
Oh, this is all a simulation.
Yeah.
Okay, but the simulation started in the future and then was sent back in time.
Oh my God.
To before the simulation started.
Yeah.
And
everybody in that time, okay, they were all assimilated and turned into their consciousness were also downloaded into there, because that's the only place where you can get authentic olden day people.
Yeah. Right.
Is by going back in time and just downloading their consciousness.
It's a computer model. Yeah. Okay. And
he's looking for one of these time traveling clones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he meets himself. Okay, but the himself that he meets, okay, is just like a businessman in today's world.
Yeah, he was a flesh and blood businessman before he was made into a robot.
Exactly. And
a robot clone, which he doesn't know that he is.
Yep.
He thinks he's flesh and blood.
Yep.
Because that's how good the robotics are these days, that they actually are all organic material.
Yep.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
But then I think he has to go to another planet.
Or does he have some kind of is there some kind of philosophical dilemma with meeting himself and finding out that he was the guy that he meets himself? Was he his target? Was that not his target?
Yeah. So he himself that he meets is actually a clone of another guy. Okay, so he was already a clone.
Yeah.
That he himself was already a clone of someone who was then replaced by a robot. What happens is people get cloned, right? And then your clone, it's the opposite of like it is in the movie The Island. Your clone then gets to use your organs.
Oh. Mm. So you got to stop people from cloning you.
Yep. Because your clone's going to come back and use your organs.
So that's what they're allowed to do.
Yeah.
And
clones have more rights than regular people.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. And so,
but it's all happening in a computer, which is inside another computer. Okay. Which is inside another computer, which is just a dream a guy is having.
But that guy is in a alternate universe, which is also a computer. Which is the first computer.
Yeah.
One of those ones that's the size of a room.
And the businessman that we meet is the son of the guy who invented that computer. Yep.
Okay.
But he's the son of that guy. He thinks he's the son of that guy, but then he goes back in time and he realizes that he's that guy and he actually had sex with his mum to give birth to himself.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is high concept. That's
pretty high concept.
I'm just going to write down three. Sketch three is just high concept.
We probably could have done that at the start.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
But I think, don't you think that would be really fun? Let's just create like 3-minute sketches, a bunch of 3-minute sketches that are just the most high concept.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a really, really good idea. Mm. But I don't know how we would explain it. Would we just have someone explaining it? Like, would it be that bit at the end of the movie where somebody comes in and explains what the fuck has happened?
So we could show a short sketch.
Yeah.
Like a short thing that happens. And then
we get to the exposition.
Like, and so the reason why she died, it turns out that the reason she died was because... Because
that's how all good movies end.
Yeah.
With a voiceover that comes in. And so it turns out the reason that all this stuff happened is as follows.
Yeah. Well, maybe it could be like a murder mystery type thing.
Yeah.
And so and it's like a Sherlock Holmes type guy.
But he's a robot.
Yeah, who was birthed by, who's created by an alien in an alternate universe.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes.
All right, high concept.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you have to be high to get to that concept.
Yeah. No, but, you know, we don't do that stuff. No. I used to, though. Mm. And I used to think that you had to be high to be creative.
Really?
Yeah. Or to have any good ideas.
But maybe. God, maybe you're right.
Well, I mean, the idea is this week. this week, I don't know. We just do this every couple of days anyway.
Yeah.
But,
every day at the moment.
Yeah, every day. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
That's but, good.
Yeah. All right, let's not look at this. Let's not look at the sketch ideas.
Let's not look at what we've written down.
Yeah. No, because we're focusing on the future and then going into the past and then putting it in a computer and then cloning it.
Oh. It's a blast from the past. Okay, what about something with cavemen?
Cavemen?
Cavemen sketches are always funny.
It's a caveman who finds a gun.
Okay. caveman makes a gun.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so everyone else is just sitting around, scratching away with their bits of stuff, okay? And a guy makes a gun.
Like, and it looks like a...
Looks like a really good gun.
Yeah. Like, is it an automatic weapon?
I think it's an automatic.
Like a full-on, like a AK-47 type of assault rifle type thing, or? Or like a little Uzi.
Uzi, yeah.
Because they're slicker. It's more likely that a caveman would come up with an AK-47, you know, but an Uzi.
But it's funnier if it's an Uzi.
Yeah, it's tighter. No, but that's what I mean. I think it's funnier if it's an Uzi because it's less likely.
Yeah. Precisely.
I mean, you could accidentally invent an AK-47, but an Uzi...
God knows I have.
Yeah, but that's an Uzi is a tight little package, especially those cartridges with like...
Oh, yeah, he invents those too.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Maybe someone else invents those just by chance at the same time. And they're like,
No, that's too ridiculous.
Okay, sorry.
He just walks in with one because you see him putting the finishing touches on it, and then he clicks the magazine into place.
Yeah,
and then he walks into a room holding the gun like that, and then somebody goes, "What's that?" And he goes, "I don't know. I just built it. Just banged some rocks together for a bit, and then I kind of got this."
Yeah. So what have you been working on?
Yeah. And then the guy says, I've been squashing this rat with this rock.
The guy puts down the gun and says, well, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
That's pretty interesting.
And he goes and he dips his finger in the squashed rat and he tastes it and goes, that's gamey. And then that's the end of the sketch.
Because
he doesn't know what the Uzi is, so he wouldn't know how to use it. Because he's a caveman, he doesn't know about Uzis. Okay, caveman.
But he doesn't know how to market it.
So what, you think he would want to sell it? They don't have currency. They're barely even, like, considered a civilization. They're just a few humans living near each other.
Yep.
In the same, because there's warmth there.
Okay.
They're only brought together by warmth.
They're huddled together for warmth.
They're only huddled together for warmth. And there's fighting all the time.
Yeah.
They can hardly live together. You can't really sleep because you don't trust the person who's pressed up against your body for warmth.
I think huddling together for warmth is a funny thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if the first business meeting was a whole lot of people were working in the same office.
Yeah.
And then the air conditioning unit malfunctioned or something, they all had to huddle together for warmth. And that's how the first business meeting happened. That's the story of the first business meeting.
That's the story of enterprise.
Companies formed.
Which is actually the eighth story.
What are some other things that, like, could huddle together for warmth? Like, yeah, like when companies merge, you could refer to it as them huddling together for warmth. Or other things that come together.
Bees?
Yeah. I think they do huddle together for warmth.
Oh, yeah, they kind of do. Okay, things that come together. Like Voltron?
Oh, all the components of Voltron were just huddling together for warmth. Sure. Penguins have got an amazing system where they're in the Arctic, Antarctic. There's no penguins in the Arctic. How weird's that? They do really well, you'd think, right?
Yeah. Well, do you think they don't know about the Arctic?
I don't think they know.
Oh my God! Penguins don't know about the Arctic.
Yeah, I think when they find out about the Arctic, they're going to be kicking themselves, and that's going to be difficult because they've got very short legs.
Very short legs.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think we could bring some penguins to the Arctic? Would that fuck up penguins?
Would that fuck up the Arctic? I don't know. But I think we should definitely give it a shot.
I mean, the guy, I like the idea of a sketch of a guy who's like, he's like a kind of like a Jacques Rousseau kind of guy. Like,
Jacques Cousteau?
Cousteau, sorry.
Yeah.
He's like, who was the other guy? Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
I don't know who that is.
That's a philosopher who came out. We were talking about...
Rousseau.
Anyway.
What about Henri Rousseau?
Jacques Cousteau, who's like talking about how, you know, it's one of his documents. He's talking about penguins don't know about the Arctic. So our mission...
They've got a little blindfolded penguin.
Yeah.
And they take him to the Arctic and they take off the blindfold and the penguin just looks around.
And then he just dives in the water and starts swimming back. Catch him! Don't let him go! Because they're guided by the magnetism.
I think this guy who's taken the penguin, he thinks he understands penguins. And he's just like, look at the expression on his face. He cannot believe it. He cannot.
The penguin
just wanders off.
And
he's so alone.
The beautiful thing is that we could probably film this in the Antarctic and you wouldn't even be able to tell.
That's right. People, your layman...
Yeah,
can't tell the difference.
Can't tell the difference between the Arctic and the Antarctic. I mean, a few arctists,
yep,
are going to be really upset by some of the footage because they're like, there's no glaciers of that size there.
Yeah,
clearly that's
that's the sign for Mawson's hut in the background. It's a dead giveaway. Dead giveaway.
Especially if we were such bad filmmakers that we would have the sign for Mawson's hut.
Do you think that that's going to be an issue, that the sign for Mawson's hut is in the background for this?
If we have all of McMurdo in this shot?
McMurdo's sound.
What's that?
McMurdo's sound is like a region of the Arctic. Antarctic.
Antarctic. Come on.
Sorry.
You just...
I really like the idea of taking a penguin to the Arctic and taking off his little blindfold.
Taking a penguin to the Arctic.
Yeah. The thing about penguins...
they don't know about it.
He's got no idea. We're going to be the first people.
In brackets, because they don't know about it. And taking...
Blindfold.
I'm embarrassed for me.
Yeah?
I think of the people listening to me, and this is why I experience so much embarrassment.
Mm.
I think, maybe a lot of embarrassment, not so much, but like, or why I'm so self-conscious is because I start picturing somebody listening to me. Like, even in regular life, I don't really... Like, when people are actually listening to me, I don't picture them listening to me. But it's when I start picturing them listening to me, I feel embarrassment.
actual people listening to you, you don't get embarrassed by. No. But a hypothetical person that you've made up in your mind who's listening to you and judging you, you're embarrassed about their reaction.
Hypothetical people judge you the worse.
I find that hypothetical people can be very cruel.
Yeah.
And they sometimes get themselves into very unfortunate situations
mm.
that if they had any sense,
yeah.
They'd avoid.
Absolutely. Hypothetical people. And oh no, I was going to try to say something about pathetic, but then I got really distracted. About somebody hearing me say that joke, and then they would judge me, and then I got embarrassed.
Yeah, so you don't strike me as someone who is, like, embarrassed all the time.
Certain things tip me over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just is it me? Things.
No, it's not you. It's just, like, I think it was just a moment where I was going, which I actually really like doing.
Yeah.
The penguin take off his blindfold.
Yeah.
See, if I when I own it and I don't think about somebody listening to it, I can really go. And he looks
you're really
around.
Belting that out.
He looks and doesn't realize that it is the Arctic. Oh, he doesn't know, but Jacques Cousteau think that he does.
Oh, the penguin knew the whole time, but he was pretending because he didn't want to hurt Jacques Cousteau's feelings.
He probably noticed, though, when he ate some fish, it would taste a little bit different because it's a different ocean and the salt content might be different.
And the salt content might be different. And the salt content might be different.
Fish is literally salty, I hear. Does cold water change the saltiness of things?
It changes how much salt can be dissolved in something, but I don't think that the salt of the oceans is at saturation point anyway, so maybe it doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. If you were trying to dissolve salt in the ocean and you had a whole lot of salt, you could dissolve more salt in the ocean if it was warm than you can if it's cold.
Well, that's interesting.
Maybe.
A little bit of science for everybody.
A little bit of science for you. Then we just end the show with a little bit of science
Think,
for everybody.
I think we're ending the show right now.
I think maybe we should end the show.
We should probably wrap up the show.
I mean, yeah.
Because we've already come up with the Ripley's Empire, which is the guy who doesn't give a shit.
I was kind of happy with that.
Yeah, it's meeting Ripley.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Right. Believe it, don't believe it. Yeah. Not my problem.
Yeah. Number two, we've got there's 7 stories in the world, and they all now are owned by Disney.
Yeah,
because one of them was about the guy going to the supermarket
yeah.
To buy double brie, and now it's going to be the plot to the
7th
Star Wars film, or maybe the next 3 Star Wars films.
They're going to split it up. It's like when they made The Hobbit into 3 films. We've got Peter Jackson to direct, and he's pretty confident that he can get 3 movies out of this. They're going to be 3 hours long each, and then there's going to be 7 hours of DVD extras for each one.
Yeah, and him and his graphic and his like his 3D modeling company, they're going to make that double brie look fucking amazing.
Yes.
It's going to be...
Correct.
It's going to be like it was straight out of France, but it's actually going to be out of New Zealand.
Yeah, they're going to film it in New Zealand.
Of course. In one of their new worlds.
Have you seen the double brie in New Zealand? It's breathtaking.
Yes.
Oh. The vistas.
It's just the landscapes there, the double brie landscapes.
The contrast of the double brie against the New Zealand lapsed landscape will be particularly striking.
Oh, yeah. Mount Wanui, something like that. Oh, that's what sounds like a name of a mountain there. 4, caveman accidentally invents Uzi, then puts it down because he gets distracted. By a smashed rat, and he tastes it, and he says it tastes gamey, and also because he doesn't know what the Uzi does.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then later on you can go back to them, to that sketch, and then it's just like them doing things, like maybe singing a song and like one guy's playing the spoons,
yeah,
like, right? And just the Uzi's just sitting there, and it's just, it's
was
making
the guy
a point
smash
of them
the
not,
rat with an Uzi?
Maybe later on, but I just like the idea of the many sketches where the Uzi's in shot not being used, and they're doing other things, just living their lives. Okay, I just love the idea of just such advanced technology going unused. Maybe that's what we're doing. It's a comment, probably.
Absolutely, probably a comment.
Yeah.
What about, you could definitely do something with, like, cavemen and do a fucking comment on mobile phones or something, and some guy's got a cave painting, and during the conversation, the guy just turns to look at the cave painting, right, while he's talking to another caveman, and the caveman gets really offended, and he's like, oh, come on, man. Are you looking at that cave painting? No.
Since cave paintings have come around.
I'm just going to check to see if anybody's updated the cave painting.
You see, that's kind of sketch. That sounds like the kind of sketch someone would definitely buy.
Yeah.
You know, like if we were writing sketches for TV, right? And like that's the kind of...
No one would buy any of these sketches.
Nobody would buy any of these sketches. But I think if we made these would be great sketches.
Yeah.
Right?
We just don't know how to market them.
That's the thing, is that people just want a simple concept. They want a simple, like, you know... You know, just so that the general public, they'll understand a good, like, sort of mobile phone metaphor.
Analogy. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to write that one down.
Okay,
this
good.
One's called
right. Okay,
sketch.
Now we're going to do two commercially viable sketches before we finish the show. That's the little bonus at the end.
Someone
okay, you could sell these. You could take these to the bank.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
They'd give you probably some cash money or maybe what are the Bitcoin? Looking or maybe at, some...
Oh, Bitcoin. That's somebody who invented a new currency.
Yeah,
you see?
Exactly.
Now, we're wrapping this show up real nicely. Here real we go. Nice. We've just invented the Bitcoin.
You read an article today about the Liberty Reserve, which was another online currency.
What? That didn't make it?
It didn't make it because it was being used almost exclusively by criminals. And recently, the United States government shut down the company that was running it. And now... All the criminals lost all their money, which is sad.
No.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, they worked really hard. They had to, like... Anyway. Caveman looking at wall painting like a dude.
Looking at his phone. Okay. What? See, this is really easy, okay? You take a caveman, you make an analogy. I had another one, right? This one's set in, like, the Regency era or maybe, like, the Middle Ages or something.
Yeah.
All right? It's not really relevant anymore because remember when people used to have the, your message... The message when you got a message on your phone, right? The tone was always right, and it was all like it's the Middle Ages, and people keep getting messengers.
Yeah.
Okay, so not messages, but messengers who come in, and whenever they come in, they've got a little horn, and they go.
That's good.
With their little horn, and people are like sending messages.
Yeah, and then they're like, we can't finish a meal without somebody. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And then, like, somebody blocks the messengers, perhaps, by, like digging a moat and all the messengers fall into it.
But why would they do that? Or like, the FBI keeps intercepting their messengers? No, I don't know.
This is... commercially viable sketches are really easy. Okay, let's do another one. This one's about a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And He
starts feeling really up a woman's leg. Right? And then she goes, that's inappropriate. He says, that's not inappropriate. This is inappropriate. And then he fills up her boob.
Commercially viable sketches.
Commercially viable sketches. I mean, oh yeah, and it's also set in the 60s, and we're just laughing at the people, at our parents' generation.
Okay.
Their parents.
No, that's good. Yeah, it's a satire on like bawdy old carry-on films.
Talking about, especially like, how people think that society used to be better.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody thinks that society... You know why you think society's better? Because you're white and you're old. Because, like, and you're a man.
Okay? Yeah.
Because everybody else thinks that society's way better now.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. Or else they, unless they're stupid. Unless they don't know about what they went through.
Unless they're not white and a man.
Yeah.
And old.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people still suffer.
Yeah, that's true. Unless they still suffer. Yeah, and they don't realize that other people used to suffer.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so we're going to wrap up this show. Oh, so wait, what was the other one? Oh, yeah, there was also taking a penguin to the Arctic, in brackets, because they don't know about it, and close brackets, and taking off his blindfold. So,
yawning. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. You're the best.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.